The RV Show USA. Start living the RV dream today.
It's the country's number one radio show about the RV lifestyle with listeners from coast to coast.
Alan, hi. Happy Camper here.
Roger Nix from Moulton, Alabama.
Alan Leroy, sunny California.
I live in Nampa, Idaho.
Rhonda Calhoun, Early, Texas.
Where your RV and wingman gives it to you straight.
I think what you're doing is fantastic,
and I think it's fabulous what you're doing.
I really strongly support your program.
You have a passion, and you are exactly what this industry needs.
I wholeheartedly back you on your education program.
It's time to buckle up, everybody. Here's your RV and wingman, Alan Warren.
The RV Show USA. Start living the RV dream today.
And this is the country's number one radio and social media show about the RV lifestyle, because we cover all of it. We cover all sides of RVing, the good and the sometimes not so good. I am the RV wingman, Alan Warren, and my job is to help you, well, keep the bogeys off your tail and help guide you folks to people that you can trust in the RV world. As a campground owner, a lifetime camping and RVing enthusiast, I have taken my experiences, both good and bad, and sort of combined them with 35 years of radio and TV broadcasting, and every week we kind of lay it out there for RVers, wannabe RVers, and those in the RV industry to listen to, with what we believe is an honest look at all sides of RVing, which I do love, by the way. On our guest line is a friend of mine that I feel I know mostly from his writings as the creator and editor of RV Daily Report. Howdy, Greg Gerber.
Hi there, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Do you know that you are one of the folks who truly inspired me when we began this show,
yeah.
Greg?
Oh, come on.
Come on, I'm telling you.
There's plenty of people to inspire you in the industry.
Please, don't play modest on me, Greg Gerber, but I have to ask you, what the hell? You're hanging it up.
I know.
What?
Talk to me. Shutting it down. It's time. I've been doing it for a little over 10 years, and there have been a lot of changes, not only in my life, but in the industry, and I'm getting a little tired and too old to keep up with all of the technology changes that are required to operate a website in today's environment.
Now, folks, Greg Gerber was, as I said, the creator, the editor of RV Daily Report, and he is a Greg, I know if I saw you, you'd probably be turning red because you'd be embarrassed, but I'm telling you, he is a straight shooter. He's an honest man, a good man, and he doesn't always make somebody's ears feel good. But that's what a good man does. He tells the truth, and I think that you told the truth as you saw it through the eyes of an RVer, because you actually became a full-time RVer while you were doing RV Daily Report, and you saw some things that you didn't like so much, right?
It was an eye-opening experience, Alan. I had been covering the RV industry from 2000 until 2014, and I'd only used an RV for like a week or so at a time. And some good friends of mine, and maybe yours, John and Kathy Huggins, asked me point blank at Quartzsite, Arizona, at their show once, that I think it was January or February of 2014, why aren't you in an RV traveling the country doing your RV Daily Report? And I thought, you know, that is a good question. And so I got an RV, motorhome, and hit the road, thinking that it would be the biggest career enhancement I could ever do, because there are no journalists covering the industry from an RV. But I did open my eyes to the plight of some RV owners and the challenges that they face. And after a couple of years, I just needed to start calling some balls and strikes, or tossing the challenge flag, if you will. And that got me into a little bit of hot water with some people in the industry.
So I want to talk, you know, I say that there's the truth and the ugly truth. Everybody tells the truth, but few people tell the ugly truth, because, well, it's ugly, you know. And,
right.
And sometimes the truth is ugly, and I don't think that you were trying to be ugly in the way that you were describing some of your experiences, but the truth is, the ugly truth, RV Daily Report, what you were funded by the RV industry. I mean, weren't you by people that made products and travel trailers and fifth wheels and the manufacturers? And
no, never a manufacturer. We didn't. Well, I take that back. Road Trip sponsored us for a couple of years or advertised with us, but mostly suppliers and people who were providing component parts and accessories and services insurance companies, things like that.
And you were doing pretty well. I mean, you had a large following, doing pretty well until you started, as you said, calling balls and strikes and throwing the flag and just saying some things that you experienced. Tell our listeners what happened and describe it. I'm not trying to scratch off a old, a scab, if you will, but I just want people to understand, because I'm sure that this had something to do with your decision to close down RV Daily Report.
Well, it contributed, but back in June of July of 2016, I got urged to do a series of editorials called the RV Death Spiral. And I noted that these are some serious critical issues impacting the RV industry. And if we don't address it, the industry will not survive more than 20 years. And I still believe that today. I mean, when you look at some of the things like product quality and campground availability, it's going to be some rough sledding here in a couple of years to maintain the industry and the lifestyle.
So is there any hope of you reviving RV Daily Report?
No.
None.
No, not at this point, no. I've refused several offers to buy it. We tried selling it a couple of years ago, and that proved to be kind of a problem for the new owners, because readers and advertisers and companies in the industry held them to the same standard that I had put into place. And it takes some effort to cover the industry in an actual, factual and honest way. Not everybody is up to that, because there are, as we've talked about before, power has consolidated in the RV industry around probably a dozen companies or less. And if you irritate one of them, they can take it out on you. They can make life miserable for you. And I know you had a big manufacturer go to all of our advertisers. This was back in 2017, and say, hey, look, we see you are advertising an RV Daily Report. They pick on us all the time about product quality. And if you want to continue to support them, that's fine. You have at it. But we will not install any of your products on the RVs that we make. And they accounted for, 40-45% of the total RV market. And the advertisers are like, Greg, I'm sorry, this is a business decision. You just can't do it. And they pulled out. And I kind of was burning out at that point and looked to sell RV Daily Report. And when I stepped away, I kept being pulled back in. People would reach out to me on Facebook and on email asking me to investigate these particular problems or to report on this particular situation. And it just proved to be problematic for the new owners. And they wanted to get out. They got too busy doing other things, so they wanted to get out of RV Daily Report late last year, and I took it back. But then I realized how much things had changed in the industry, and especially in publishing, online publishing. It's just really, really hard to make a go of a website anymore.
But when you're making the lion's share of your money off of an industry that you have to say nothing but positive, great things about.
Right.
Was it a struggle when you said, I've got to tell the truth? Were you trying to be a hero, or were you just self-destructive? If you had to do it again, would you make the same decision again to write the RV Death Spiral? Or?
Absolutely. It is something that needed to be said, and the industry needs to understand that these things are being talked about, and it might not be publicly, but it's being talked about in campgrounds among RV owners. And if the industry doesn't start to pay attention to them, their market will disappear. And I think we're seeing some of that now with shipments down, 8 months consecutively now, and everybody's blaming the economy, which is still roaring. I think word is finally getting out that the people want to buy an RV to have fun and to travel. They do not want to buy an RV to sit in a dealership for 6 months waiting for their unit to be fixed.
You know, a few weeks back, you wrote a story about what did you call it? Draining the RVIA swamp. What did you mean about that? I mean, why did you write about that? What does it mean? Did I lose you? I think I lost Greg Gerber. We're going to try to get Greg back on the line. Goose is over there right now. Folks, we've got Greg Gerber, who has been sharing his story. Greg is one of the good guys in the RV industry. He's an honest man, a good man. There you are, Greg. I'm not sure
where
I lost you. But a few weeks back, you wrote a story about draining the swamp through, you know, an RVIA. Can you kind of explain that? Because I think you kind of struck a nerve again, Greg Gerber.
Of course I did, yes. The president of the RV Industry Association announced that he was stepping down. And I noted this was a good opportunity for the industry to move RVIA out of the Washington, D.C. area and move it to Elkhart. That's what I was saying. And I think that the problem that we have is the industry association is kind of out of touch.
I think I lost you again. Have we got a bad connection or what there, Goose? Boy, this is crazy. All right, y'all just hang on. We got, I'm not sure what's going on. If Greg's in a bad spot or what's going on. Goose is saying he's in a bad spot. Like I said, we got Greg Gerber with RV Daily Report on. Greg's going to be going silent, like radio silence, on June 21st. That's his last day of producing a wonderful, wonderful newsletter that started out being nothing but talk about insider stuff in the RV industry. And then this year he started talking about consumer stuff as well as the RV industry. All right, Greg, we got you back?
I am back. I'm in a Verizon dead zone here in Wisconsin. I think they have three towers, one in Milwaukee, one in Green Bay, and one in Eau Claire. And I'm way down by Madison, and so it's hard to get the signal.
Well, you sound good right now, so don't move. So.
All right. Well, we'll strike.
Where
did I get cut off?
Well, with RVIA, you said that the president had resigned and that this was a good opportunity to continue the house cleaning, I guess.
Right. It's I've said for a while.
Why? Because they're out of touch, you said.
I did. I do think that that's the case. They're caught up in that D.C. mentality. It's all politics. It's all negative all the time. And it's. I think the RV industry would be stronger if the industry's association was closer to the manufacturers and the dealers and the people who buy RVs. And I don't think that's possible to do in Washington, D.C. So let's move them to Elkhart, where most of the RVs are made and most of the suppliers are located. I think it will give them a different outlook on the industry and the problems that are in it and maybe encourage them to fix it. But as long as they're in Washington, D.C., they're kind of isolated. So let's open a office there to have a liaison or a lobbyist or whatever to work with government officials and agencies to develop proactive RV-friendly laws and policies. But let's move the Industries Association from Washington out to Elkhart. I noted that the National Association of RV Parks and Campgrounds moved their offices from Washington, D.C. area out to Denver probably a bunch of years ago, 7 or 8. And it's made a big difference.
The cost of real estate, just rent, and just the cost of staying open there in D.C. has got to be incredible compared to Elkhart, Indiana. Heck.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So in the past, you had mentioned on a couple of occasions, you had an idea that you thought that there ought to be an association of RV owners, a group of RV owners that would essentially be the antithesis of RVIA. What are your thoughts about the needs, maybe, for an owner's association?
Not really the antithesis of RVIA. It's just that owners lack a voice. Dealers have a voice through the RV Dealers Association. Suppliers have a voice. The RV manufacturers have a voice. And it's just that consumers really don't have a strong, organized voice. And we saw that again last week, when the RV Industry Association released a video touting their 2018 accomplishments, and they were very, very proud of the fact that they were able to defeat a Lemon Law proposal in a couple of states. And I thought, that's kind of silly to celebrate that publicly when RV owners are having a heck of a time getting their RVs fixed and fixed right the first time. So why would we as an industry want to celebrate that kind of thing? Aren't we interested in delivering products and services that RVers can use? I mean, that's kind of what I think we need to be focusing our attention on.
Do you think an association could actually be formed? RVIA brings in tens of millions of dollars a year. How could a tiny little startup association of RV owners ever go up against that? I mean, by the way, you are one of the few voices, and you're going silent on June 21st. Thank you very much, Mr. Gerber.
I do think that a consumer organization is past due, and it's really needed. Now, how do you do that? I'm not really sure. I explored that opportunity with some people a few years ago. At 59, I just don't have the energy to sit in there and do that on a day-to-day basis. It would require a lot of work. I think that it is eventually going to come, maybe this year. I know that there are a number of attorneys. I think you've interviewed them. Chuck Woodbury has interviewed them, who are being proactive in consumer protection and those kind of laws. And that's where the association would come from. But I don't think that consumers, as a general rule, are willing to pay to fund it. That's just, you know, I just sense that, you know, if it would cost them somebody $49 a year to belong to this association, I think there'd be a lot of blocking at that. And you're certainly not going to get any advertising or support from the dealers and manufacturers and suppliers for a consumer organization, I don't think. Some of them might do it, but I just think it'd be more difficult. So how would you fund it to be a viable organization? And that's the key.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't think the consumers will support it. At least not enough of them will pay whatever it is, $49, $20. That's too much money. And then they'll go and gripe because the quality of their RV is not what they want. I mean, I want to ask you a silly question. I mean, this has nothing to do with RV Daily Report, but what is it about RVing that Greg Gerber likes so much?
And it's what? I'm sorry?
That you like so much. Why do you like RVing so much? Because I know you love it.
Oh, it's a great way to make memories. It really is. There's so much to see in America, and the ability to get in an RV and go right to that location, spend a couple of days and move to another location. I mean, everybody dreams of doing that at some point in their life. And I am so grateful that I had that opportunity for 3 years to be able to do just that. I went to all 48 lower states in a three-year period, some of them twice. I think that people love the idea of traveling. And, you know, you get into a situation where you've got kids scattered all over the country. Now mom and dad can go visit the kids, spend a week with each one, and just park in their driveway or nearby campground and not cause any inconvenience. You know what they say about relatives and spending too much time with each other. You know, they begin to stink after a couple of days. So RVing makes it easier for that type of thing to happen. And
all right.
I did note that there's a million people doing it full-time now. That's incredible.
It is, and the campgrounds are more full than they've ever been. So as you look into the future, Greg, what are your biggest concerns for consumers? Then I'm going to ask you about the industry. What are your concerns for the consumer?
Number one, we've got to get more technicians. There's no question about that. This is a problem that has been top of mind in the RV industry since I started in January of 2000. And RVIA continues to talk about the need for technicians, yet we don't see much opportunity for training. And we know that, you know, you can get a kid out of high school, put him through tech training, and that kid can make $45,000 his first year out as an RV technician. So we need to be promoting that. I know RVIA takes a lot of money through the sale of seals that are affixed to the RVs, and they use that money to fund commercials and print advertising and online advertising. And I've proposed several years ago that RVIA take just a smidgen of that, maybe 10%, even 5%, and put that toward advertising to encourage people to explore the RV technician career field. They're not having the enough technicians is making it very difficult for people to get their RVs fixed timely. The manufacturers are also pumping out RVs so quickly that they need to slow down, or they need to develop a better process where they can correct many of the problems that consumers are finding when they buy the RVs. I mean, that's just simple. I know that, you know, some people say that, you know, it's a hurricane. You know, driving an RV is like going through an earthquake and a hurricane. And that's true. But we have earthquake-proof homes. We have hurricane-proof buildings. Why can't we do the same thing with RVs?
You know what I've heard people say? They say because it costs $500,000 for a $50,000 travel trailer. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't either. I think there are things that they can do. We're seeing some silly things coming out of that, out of Elkhart.
I know you're going to be closing it down pretty soon. Are you? Do you have any words of caution maybe for the RV industry? I mean, like if you had to...
For the industry?
Yeah, for the industry.
Don't think around with this, Alan. Everything that I wrote in the Death Spiral is still applicable today. We're having problem getting campground reservations. The campgrounds are full. You have to book your place 6 months early. I do note that there have been a bunch of new campgrounds announced this year alone. So I know that that industry is really focused on delivering a better experience with the campground. So that's a good thing. But it's when it comes down to getting RVs fixed and product quality, the industry has got to start paying attention. They can't crucify people who are shouting and saying, guys, you can't be doing this. They can't do it. It's not like there's a silence of voice. It's not going to go away. They cannot play like an ostrich. They're going to have to address this problem once and for all.
All right. You know what, Greg? My daughter's sitting here, the graphics girl, and she says she's been passing me a note. Can I please read a couple of comments that people have said about you, Greg Gerber? Because you are going to be sorely missed by many, many, many people.
So Diana LeBlanc Link over at PPL Motorhomes, she was saying how much that she is going to miss you and the impact that you've made in the RV industry. And Jeff Branning, one of our listeners who's always watching, he says, I'm so sorry to hear about RV Daily Report going away. You've done an awesome job over the years attempting to help the consumer get the best RV available and the best information, good or bad, available.
Oh, that's sweet.
There's tons of them. I can't keep up with them.
Greg, please tell me you are not totally disappearing from the scene. Give me some hope that we'll be hearing more from Greg Gerber in the RV world. This isn't the total end.
Well, yes. I have been offered an opportunity to produce content for the Camper News. And so I'm going to be doing some writing for them and writing for other companies in the RV industry. I noted that we have a lot of companies that are pulling back on their advertising and they're hiring public relations firms, and the PR firms just aren't doing it. They're producing tripe and sending it out, and nobody's publishing this stuff, and nobody's believing it if they do. So I see an opportunity to go out there and really tell the stories about the lifestyle and the people who are out there having a great time and making memories and help people learn how to fix 80% of the problems that they have on their own so they don't have to spend all their time in an RV dealership or a service center. I will be actively involved in that area to start. And there are some other companies that have put out dealers to see if I would come and write for them as well. So the name will hang around, I'm sure, but just not at RV Daily.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story. I'm telling you, you have been a very big influence on me, and I wish you the very best, Greg Gerber. I really do.
Well, thank you, Alan. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you and the show as well. Glad to hear you're growing so well.
Please know that you will always have a friend in me and in this show wherever you end up, all right?
That's a deal. I'll be in Texas next week. Maybe we'll have to have lunch again.
Well, we can meet. That was a great place up in Waco we had lunch at, wasn't it?
That was, yeah.
Crowded, but great.
Yeah.
All right, well, you take care. We'll talk again.
Thank you very much.
All right, you
betcha.
All right, what a great guy, I'm telling you. I believe the RV industry, at least on the consumer side, needs a Greg Gerber. But we do wish him well. Thank you to Greg and everybody who has caught the live stream of the show. I invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and to our podcast. They're available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Add your name to our email list at TheRVShowUSA.com. Until next time, I'm Alan Warren, the RV Wingman. Don't leave those good manners at home. So long, everybody.
The RV Show USA. America.
So many things to see, so many places to go. Freedom and fun go hand in hand.